All right, here it is. Off the Rails Friday, the National Hour, live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Breaking news. Doug McLean's book is going paperback.
Is that right?
I don't know. That's the best I got right now. As we welcome
in... quick turnaround to paperback.
A very, very wet Doug McLean, who bailed on us yesterday for 9 holes, only to be rained out.
So, listen, there's only one change. I need the cover changed on the book.
Oh,
to what?
I need it changed because the paperback edition is going to be the identical cover, but in bold letters across the top in red, it's going to say National Bestseller.
Ooh.
So I think I need the change. If you're going to promo it, I need the change, Don. I want you to be accurate.
Wow. Life is really good, isn't it? And it got a lot better now since I made you a regular on Fridays.
Yeah, it's really helped my career. It really has helped. So I got a golf story for you.
Uh-oh.
First to start off. I get invited to play at Boca Rio, which is a real exclusive club in Boca Raton, 100 or so members. So I go out and play, and the caddy comes up, and he said, I understand you're a hockey guy. And I said, yeah, you know, I coach the Panther. Oh, and he gets all excited. So on about the 6th hole, he started to call me David. Hey, David, you know, one cup, you know, just move it one cup. You know, these caddies, all they do, caddies now, is tell you how to putt. They don't carry your clubs. They help you look for the oddball, but they just tell you how to putt. You know, so he called me Doug. And I finally said to my buddies, can one of you guys tell him my name is Doug, not David? Okay, can you do that? So in the 9th hole, he goes in and gets us nice tags for our golf clubs, Boca Rio. So, you could have them on your bag. So I look at mine. It's got David McLean, McClean. So he spelled both my names wrong. He called me David. And then at the end of the round, the guy that invited me, who I thought, hey, this is unbelievable, caddy, invite, you know, beautiful course. He said, I said, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. And he said, yeah, that'll be $400.
Come on.
So I end up costing me $400. And anyway, I got a tag with the so I'm leaving that tag
David
in my
McLean.
Bag.
McLean.
At least they got your name right on the book. Don't get greedy.
Going back to PEI with that name tag on my bag. So just so I can tell all the boys what a big wheel I am in South Florida. They don't even know my name. You know, so I have the Mario story for you. Now I got this one. Like, it's a disaster.
Disaster. All right. Hockey. John Tortorella, I'm opening it up with what you've watched this week between the Philadelphia Flyer head coach and their recently appointed captain of, what, 4.5, 5 weeks ago to be not only a healthy scratch once, but twice this week.
Yeah, it's a, you know, I don't think we should be surprised when we watch what has gone on. Like, I want you to keep something in mind here, okay? So, at his last days in Columbus or his last year in Columbus, he wanted to move into management, okay? He wanted to move into management and actually move out of coaching. And Kekalainen wanted nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. He wanted him to coach. And then at the end of the day, it was a mutual parting of the ways. And it was, in fact, a mutual parting of the ways. Kekalainen didn't want him in management, and Torts wanted, you know, they both decided to move on. It will not surprise me that after this season, Tortorella will move into management with the Philadelphia Flyers. And that a guy like, keep in mind, Berube may go there. Obviously, he's got, you know, Toronto if they stumble. But I wouldn't be surprised that Torts will move up.
Mm.
And if Keith Jones and Breer are smart, they'll move him upstairs, I think. Because things go south with this guy. Nobody's denying he's not a really good coach. He's done a good job. everywhere he's been, except in Vancouver, which was a debacle. But let's not forget Tampa Bay, you know, when they were a good team, Stanley Cup, Columbus, he kept them in the battle. He's done a great job in Philly. So I wouldn't be surprised this will unfold. I don't like what he did to Couturier. I think there's so many other better ways to handle it if he doesn't like the way he's playing, instead of making him a healthy scratch and embarrassing him. And then he doesn't talk to the media. He refuses to talk about his name, his captain, who he named a captain, like you said recently. I didn't like it. And you know what? They're in tough still to make. They're lucky the Islanders are awful right now. They're lucky that the Islanders have really stumbled and Washington's hanging in, but they're probably going to get into the playoffs.
Just to stay on this topic for a minute, like, you've been a coach, you've been an executive, like, the relationship between a coach and a captain at the top of the list has to be communication. Like, how do you end this relationship with no communication between you and your captain? I don't get it, Mac.
I don't. And you know what? The number one thing for a captain is you name a captain, and the one priority I had when I was naming a captain is I wanted a guy that absolutely cared about the team, cared about the organization, cared about his teammates. That was the number one thing. And I had Brian Skrudelin, who was maybe the best captain I've ever been around. And I was around Steve Yzerman. I was around Skrudelin. I had Luke Richardson in Columbus, who was a quality guy. I had some great people. You know, I was around Rod Langway in Washington, some real good captains. But you're right. Communication is the number one thing. It's the guy that you get the pulse of the team from. He's the head of your leadership group. You know, he's the guy that's got great respect in the dressing room. I knew Couturier had it. I don't know where it stands now. And I know what's, he got one goal in 27 games. I get that. I know he's had tough injuries. But this, I'm telling you what, if I'm the Ottawa Senators, I'm on the phone to Philly saying, what do you want for this guy? And let Claude Giroux go, move him on, and bring this guy in to be around your young guys. That's what I'd be doing if I was Ottawa today.
These are, all right, this is good stuff, Doug.
I'm trying to help everybody around the league here.
I know, you're just a helper. You're a connector of people. This is nice.
I'm not happy my golf game was scratched today because of weather. Kippy was sending me weather reports.
You couldn't even bluff,
I didn't think I could do this. I didn't think I could do the show today because I had this golf game I promised this guy. And he's sending me pictures of the radar of South Florida. Like, how desperate are you guys?
Super desperate.
By the way, I'm making more money playing golf than I am doing this
show.
Sounds
like you're net minus 400 from what I know.
You can ask him one more question about...
Buddy, so we go.
Okay, just between a coach and a captain right now in Philadelphia, is this irreparable damage? Can they ever put this behind them?
You know what? If they're with a guy like Keith Jones there, and you know what I know of Keith and the way he operates and his personality, I don't know Briere as well. If there's a chance, I think Keith will try to work to repair it. I really believe he will. But you know, if there's going to be a change made at the end of the season, I don't know. It's like my friend used to say, I'm not telling you it's the truth. I'm just telling you what I heard. You know, like, just keep that in mind here. Don't run with this and you guys spread it all over. I'm just giving you my inside stuff. I think they'll try to repair it. I don't know if it's possible.
You guys spread it all over on national television right now.
I don't know Sean, but I know his dad. I had his dad, Sylvan, in Adirondack and a little bit in Detroit. Quality person. He's a GM of a major junior team. He's had a good career post hockey. Quality people. I don't get this one. There's so many other ways to handle it. And Dubinsky, I thought Dubinsky nailed it the other day. And I know he doesn't like Torts. I know they had a big falling out. I get all that. But I thought he nailed it, how it could have been handled, you know?
Now, do you mention Ottawa is somewhere for Couturier because that looks like the best fit, or do you think that's something they would really do? And would the move be because of this rift with Torts at all, or just kind of those are separate things?
I think they're separate things, but it's going to be, it's at a bit of a breaking point. I'm thinking more of Ottawa.
Yeah.
Ottawa definitely needs some veteran leadership in there. And to me, Giroux's not the guy. I know Giroux's had an unbelievable career. To me, he's not the guy to work with a Stutzel and around a Tkachuk. I think they need a Couturier type of guy up front, and they need a similar type of guy on the back end. That's what I think they need desperately. And they got to move out, I mean, Zub and Bernstrom and move these guys on and you know, and find a goaltender. But I look today, they got a $10 million problem in goal with Korpisalo. Like, what do they do with that? What do they do with that money? I mean, a buyout just will be a challenge.
Does Philly want him?
I don't know.
They're on.
I would try to finish Elite League or maybe the Swedish Elite League, but I don't know.
They're anyway. They've lost three in a row, Ottawa. Prior to that, before, you know, they had three wins, they lost seven in a row here, Mac. Like, yeah. I'm... This was supposed to be the turnaround year, a new owner, fresh, a guy that can come in and solve all of the problems that were apparently there with the late Eugene Melnyk. What has gone wrong here in Ottawa?
You know what? I really don't know. I mean, look, Norris has been a challenge, you know, an $8 million contract with bad shoulders. Who knows where this is going? This was supposed to be the year to take a big step, and their goaltending fell flat in its face. Yeah. They're like, just think Gustafson's in Minnesota and has been okay, up and down and okay. And Decord in Seattle are two guys they let go that are better than what they've got right now. You know, there's problems. You know, a kid goes on waivers in Chicago, a defenseman, they pick him up because he played for Stamkos in junior. And they bypassed Cleven and a couple of good prospects in the minors. I mean, I don't get it. But I'll tell you one thing. This is their biggest offseason in the history of the franchise.
Wow.
This offseason is the biggest in the history of the franchise, because they have, and they're going to lose a first-round pick over the next 3 years because of the debacle with Vegas, and they've got to fix this. And this is a huge offseason for Stamkos and company. And,
in terms of hiring a coach, talking about land, is that related to this, or we're just talking coach and personnel?
I would say the land for the new arena is in la-la land until they fix this hockey team. Let's not kid ourselves. If they don't fix this hockey team, they'll be able to play in the rink in Canada. Or not Canada. Where's an Armpryor? They can play in the Armpryor rink if they don't get this team fixed. They won't need one downtown.
Is that dressing room fine? Everyone okay there? Have you heard anything there? Does it sound like people don't get along awesome this year? I guess it's a frustrating season. You know anything?
In where?
In Ottawa.
Armpryor?
In Armpryor. How are things in Armpryor?
I think that I got to believe it's been tough there. But like Jacques, a veteran guy.
Right.
You know, Alfredson's is a quality guy. I got to believe they would keep the dressing room okay despite tough times,
yeah.
You know. But like here's the – you eventually run into a problem is – lack of playoff success. Shabbat never made the playoffs. Stutzel never made the playoffs. Brady Tkachuk. I mean, how long can you let this go on? Mm-hmm. Look, I was with an expansion team, and it was not pretty. Let me tell you, it was not pretty. But not making the playoffs for an extended period of time becomes really tough on young players. And, you know, you guys were talking about Max Domi. Max Domi was lost in Columbus. He was awful in Columbus. Because why? You know, he knew they didn't probably have a chance. And you lose interest. So, but it's got to be fixed, and it's a big job. It's a big job in Ottawa.
What is going down in your state of Florida here? A little role reversal here. The Panthers can't win the last three games, and the Lightning are on fire, led by Kucherov with 15 points in three games.
Do you believe that? I saw that this morning, and you know what? I watched him a bit the other night. I mean, this guy is scary good right now. How good has this guy been? It's unbelievable. But Vasilevsky. I mean, Hedman, Point. I mean, they're still pretty good team, and they're thinner. They're not as deep as they were. They're a little bit thinner. Think about Paul. Think about Paul, the kid that they picked up from where? Who were we just talking about?
Ottawa.
Exactly. I mean, how much could Ottawa use him right now? Instead, and I know the kid they got's okay, but he's not Paul. Not for me. Not even close.
Pinto.
Sorry. No, well, they got Roy. Joseph.
Yeah.
That's the deal, wasn't it? Yeah, that was the deal. But I think it was. So anyway, you know, I mean, we're just, as this show does, we try to help teams, you know?
Yeah, you're doing a terrific job.
I think even Alfredson has had his fill of this group, I would say.
Do you think so? He had some comments about how
they've
it's
asked
been
him
hard. But as a first-time coach, to like learn how to put together videos, to put to, you know, an appropriate meeting for a team, it's a lot to ask.
They asked him about, would you be interested in head coaching next year?
Who asked him? The media?
Yeah, the media.
Yeah, I don't think Ian Mendez is picking the coaches. Is Mendez picking the coach? I mean, I like Ian and I like Gary. Garriott and Mendez have a committee together. Are they going to be in the same room picking the coach, Mendez and Garriott?
They're the search committee.
Anyway.
Listen, somebody mentioned to me that since Daniel Alfredson went behind the bench, they may have the worst power play record since then. And that should be one of his specialties, is it not? And that gives you an idea of the challenges right now for a guy like that to go behind an NHL bench.
Well, look, as much as we all love Daniel Alfredson and the career he's had, and you can read about him in draft day about his draft, if you really want to, about how John Ferguson had to almost arm wrestle Randy Sexton to allow him to take him. You know, but look, the translation from being on a power play and actually running one on a bench is extremely different. And he's an inexperienced guy behind the bench, and there's not a snowball's chance they're putting him in as a head coach with what they've got on their plate. And I love Daniel Alfredson. I'm all day long assistant coach for him if that's what he wants to do or get into player development, but not a head coach, not in such an important, critical season for a franchise. Not a chance.
So tell us the difference between, you know, when you're on a bench for a losing team, you know, how much harder is it than when your team is having success? You talked about Domi kind of getting lost in Columbus. You know, you see this with good players who it feels like if they're not a part of some sort of chase, it's tough to really get traction.
You know what? From a management point of view and a coaching point of view, with a losing team is unbelievably hard. And that's a management coaching perspective. It's hard in the head. Mm-hmm. You try everything, you do everything. But for the players, it becomes drudgery to have to go to the rink. It really does. And their play deteriorates because of it. It just becomes a mindset, and it's really tough to overcome. It really is. And that's why you got to give Tortorella credit for how he's turned around an awful Philadelphia Flyer team into a competitive group that won't lay down. And, you know, it happens to some teams. And, you know, it's like Lindy said to me the day after he got fired, he said, you know, we outshoot the team 50-20 and we lose 3-1. We don't get a save. You know, you need certain things happen. So Ottawa's problem started in goal, and then it spread from goal to defense to forwards. It just spreads throughout the whole group. And it's, losing does that to you.
We're talking to Doug McLean, former NHL president, GM, head coach, and now author of a paperback. Wow. Just thrilling. Absolutely thrilling.
Did your guys start as paperbacks, or did you go from you were going to go from paperback to hardcover? I went the other way.
Mine's just a PDF, Doug. You can download it.
Doug, you can line the birdcage with mine. Don't worry about it. Hey, where did I want to go before I thought?
I just had somebody just text me. Hey, David.
Hey, David. David, let me ask you this question. Tomorrow night on Hockey Night in Canada, signature game between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers. For the Leafs, what does a good showing do against the Edmonton Oilers psychologically moving forward for them?
Well, look, the Oilers are 8-1-2 in their last 11 games. Hyman with 48 goals. They're hitting on all cylinders right now. I mean, McDavid, 4 assists. Dreisaitl, Ekholm, a star Ekholm. They're hitting on all cylinders. So it's a big game. It's to me, it's like the Carolina game for the Leafs. It's a statement type of game, and that's what they have to come up with, a performance that makes them feel. I mean, I look at the East and I go Carolina, Boston, Florida, Rangers, and I got the Leafs as fifth in the East. Guys, that's frightening going into the playoffs. So a statement game against Edmonton would be a big thing, especially with Marner out. You know, if they can get a good game in goal, I don't know who's starting, whether it's the kid or Samsonov. I hope that God is the kid, but, you know, we'll see. But it's a statement game because the Oilers are tough. And they can be down after two periods. There's no quit in them, and there's no giving up because they know they can score.
How important is special teams going into playoffs? Because the Leafs' PK is no good. The Oilers score like crazy. A lot of these other teams, Florida and Boston, who the Leafs might draw. Like, how important is it to be a good special teams team?
Well, it's real important. Like, it's really hard to score power play goals in the playoffs. Yeah. It really is, because your penalty killing goes to everybody's penalty killing goes to another level because of second and third efforts on the kill. Power plays become critical, and they have to be hitting on all cylinders because it's much more challenging to be a good power play in the playoffs. That's why Tampa's had success.
Yeah.
Kucherov, Point, Stamkos, Hedman, Sergachev, not fazed by the, you know, the great penalty killing. So it's real important, to say the least.
Does Hyman score his 50th goal in Toronto tomorrow night?
Oh, God, I hope so. Like Steve Simmons. What kind of column would that be from Steve Simmons if he gets his 50th? What?
Would you back off the media? They're just doing their jobs.
If I was Dubas, I would have taken Hyman to Pittsburgh, not Bunting. He didn't want him, but I mean, anyway, the kid's been pretty good. But look, hey, he's playing with some pretty good players in Edmonton, and you know the way this kid goes to the net. Is that true? Matthews didn't like playing with him? I mean, why?
Who said that? Was that you that said that?
No, Kippy said that. Told me that off the record a couple of years ago.
No. No, Steve Simmons wrote it.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's what he's talking about. Oh. Hey, what's going on with Sid this summer? Is he going to sign a 3-year deal with Pitt, or do you look into his body language recently?
I will be surprised if he doesn't sign. I've got to believe that Mario and... I mean, I've got to believe he'll sign a 3-year deal and end his career there, won't he? But, I mean, we've seen it. We've seen guys move on and, you know... But isn't it special to be like Yzerman and finish your career with the Red Wings and Mario finishes career with Pittsburgh? Isn't that special? Gretzky didn't do it. We'll see.
I just wants to win, though.
Well, that's
too,
the thing.
Right?
You're so competitive. He's still so good. Like, can you just people kind of looked at Ryan Getzlaff and went, "Yeah, you're content. You don't even want to get traded to a contender. You just want to be a duck." Like, yeah. Isn't that kind of quitting on? I mean, his great Hall of Fame career, yada yada. But I mean, people see it as anti-competitive, I think.
You know what? It will be interesting. I'll never forget, and I told you this story before. My son was skating down in Charlotte at 7 a.m. with the college and pro guys. And he said, "Sid's coming to skate with us tomorrow morning." And I drove down at 7 with Clark to watch Sid skate with the guys. I'm telling you, I watched for an hour in awe of Sidney Crosby. Number one, Dion was on the ice as well, group of guys like that. I've never seen a kid go that hard in an hour with a bunch of college guys And they told me that the respect, the way he acted in the dressing room with them, the way he was on the bench with them, the way he was in the drills with them, was unbelievable. So this is a special, special kid.
Yeah.
And loves the game and loves hockey. I hope he signs and they get better. That's what I hope happens. But, hey, they need a lot of changes with that hockey team right now, too. And I'm not helping them. I've helped, tried to help Ottawa today, tried to help the Leafs, but I'm done. I'm not giving any more tips today.
Is it still raining in Florida? Like, what do old people do when it rains in Florida?
Nap.
Oh, we'll probably catch a happy hour tonight. It used to be called the early bird special. Now they've changed it to half drinks happy hour, half price drinks happy hour.
Well, aren't we lucky for the weather today?
I'm going to barbecue on the back deck tonight. I've got a nice piece of meat there. We'll barbecue.
Barbecue Jeff Rimmer again?
Yeah, it's Jeff Rimmer on the menu.
Jeff Rimmer just told me an unbelievable story today. He had dinner with Chris McFarland last night in Colorado. He would have phoned Chris and begged them to take him out to dinner. I know this. I've been there. So he takes him out, and Chris McFarland shows up and gives him a McCarr jersey. And I said, Rims, why would he give you a McCarr jersey? And Rims said, because Cal and I spent time together in Calgary. Rimmer went to grade school in Calgary and got cut from the Pee Wee team, and it ended his career. You know, he got a stick tap in the ass, and they told him to get off the ice. That was the end of his hockey career. And him and Cal spent... Carl McCarr spent time together in Calgary. I mean, this guy's in, he's in La La Land. It's scary.
You know, he's going to retire, right? You'll have nothing to talk about when he retires.
I just did a video for Columbus. They phoned me to do a video for the big board. You know what story I told? First time I met Jeff Rimmer 36 years ago, he was the in-between period host of the Washington Capitals. And I went in to do the in-between periods intermission as assistant coach. And I looked at him, and this guy is sitting on the desk, and he's got a raccoon tail on his head. He had a toupee on. And I couldn't stop looking at the toupee the whole interview. I'm thinking, what the hell has he got on his head? And it was Jeff Rimmer with a toupee. So that, I told that story on the tape. And wow. it looked better than he looks today.
Well, thanks for coming on, Doug.
Guys, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, we do too. We appreciate your time.
I don't know where you go from a toupee. Is he still on? Have we got rid of him? We
cut the feed.
Hey, listen. Matt Marstrom just sent me a text. Great segment, David. Thanks, guys. I'm really becoming famous.
All right.
This show.
Dave McLean.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I know a great Dave McLean from PEI.
Is he serious?
I know a real one.
He told that story for 18,000 people in a building,
I guess,
to honor
Jeff Rimmer. We have Off the Rails Friday.
Can we get him on to defend himself finally?
I legitimately want to have Jeff Rimmer on. Can we make that happen?
It's time.
Did they play Columbus?
It's time for the journalistic part of the show where we do like the other side of it.
It's time
to bring some journalism in.
Can we split screen them?
Oh, yeah. We can probably get that. Jen, we can do that, right?
Sit back.
No, because Doug will overpower whoever we play. I'd rather hear Jeff's side.
No, Jeff's actually, he can hang. He can dish it
back.
Yes,
you don't become friends with Doug unless he can hang.
I mean, he just told the story on national television about how he had a raccoon tail on his head.
Oh, God. All right. What do you got for us, Sammy?
Let's go to break, and then I'll do bet. I'll do game time on the other side.
Torch is going to be a manager? Couturier at Ottawa? That was a hell of a bit.
Ooh, maybe we'll get into that after the break. And Sammy's game time when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDOcast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee as we attempt to dig it out of the ditch.
But he's got a long climb after that.
Vancouver Canucks, couple of wins.
Game time first, buddy.
Are we going to go over it? Okay, let's go. Game time.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Is it the app for latest odds? Find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, a couple things quickly. The Carolina Hurricanes tonight visit Washington. So Evgeny Kuznetsov did not have to wait long for his return to his former team, which won the Stanley Cup with. We all know the history there. So I'm looking at a Carolina Hurricanes. I haven't done a same game parlay in a long time. Okay. But the revenge one, the Carolina Hurricanes win with a Evgeny Kuznetsov goal pays plus 500. So, not awful odds.
I like that one.
So, you know, he might want to be keen to stick it to his former team. They are not very good, as we witnessed just Wednesday night when the Leafs played there. So, give me that for
Canes
5+.
Canes in regulation for me, that one.
And I'm just looking at the Hart Trophy odds because we were talking about Kucherov and how ridiculously on fire he's been.
Mm-hmm.
Really hasn't shifted it much. I have it right here. McKinnon is still minus 180. Kucherov is plus 375, so it hasn't shifted it a bunch.
Not the worst bet the way that guy's rolling.
He has 122 points in 68 games.
Yeah, he's going to have, 150 points.
To me, I'm surprised that they haven't shifted that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And now that Tampa has kind of caught fire and they're heading towards solidifying a playoff spot.
Easily point at him and be like, that's the guy.
That's kind of the reason they're doing that. Is he plays a lot and he scores every night. So those are two things that I was looking at. So there you go.
All right.
Just watching Carolina the other night, their defense is led by Slavin.
Yeah.
So good. But you know who's sneaky good that I've never really heard of?
Jalen Chatfield.
But he's going to make a lot of money.
Oh,
he's UFA.
Right. Yes. Yeah, he's pretty good. He defends.
Scored the other night with a bomb.
He's like a new Tanev type of guy. He really defends.
He's going to be UFA, and Caroline has already taken a couple of cracks at signing him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like for nothing. $1.5 million.
Well, they're lowballing him.
Oh, yeah.
You know what sucks?
Oh, no.
What stinks is you got to do that.
They lowball. That's what they do. That's the owner's thing.
Can't, you know, you got to go in there, if he thinks he's worth 1.5, give him 2.5 before people find out he's worth 4.
He may end up with 3.5 or 4.
Yeah. You shoot right?
Yes.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
That would free up Brett
Pesci. They're like diamonds in the rough if you can get one of those for free.
Someone's going to pay Pesci.
Yes. Yeah. Pesci. Brady is also a free agent.
Brady Shea.
Yeah. So they got to win now. No question.
Slavin and Burns, what a pair.
That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds. Find out why it's never ordinary. Bet365 must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
It's text time, unless you wanted to say
something.
Yeah,
I just want to mention the Pacific because, again, a big part of our Friday show is teeing up the Edmonton Oilers and the Toronto Maple Leafs and just the Edmonton's push now. Can they still? Vancouver had a very good week against not easy games. Lesser opponents in Buffalo and Montreal. Zadorov scores 2 goals last night. He's kind of sneaky sometimes, putting the puck in the net.
Yeah.
But the push for Edmonton to try to find a way to close the gap on Vancouver, it's not happening?
It ain't over. It's not over. I mean, they 3 games in hand.
3 games in hand.
And 8 points back. So let's say they get a couple of those, let's say 4 points, 5 points out of the 6, and they're 3 games at hand. You're kind of right there.
And
they
do
play.
One more meeting.
They do play. With 4 games to go in the season or something like that, they have a head-to-head game. You know, the Oilers have been winning at a clip. If they're up to, I don't know what their winning percentage is, but 657. They've been winning a lot higher clip than that, so it ain't over is all I'm saying.
Yeah. I think it's just too big of a number. Like, they're not going to win every game in hand.
Yeah,
and with the game head-to-head, plus the record that they already have, where they have the tiebreaker already, to me, it's like, I can't see it happening. Vancouver had too good of a year for them to crap all over it now, I think. So
Canucks are staying up
Vancouver
there.
Just has to handle their business, right? Yeah. Win their games.
Yeah, they got Calgary tomorrow night, Vancouver, L.A., Dallas, and then next week it kind of alleviates a little bit with 2 out of 3 against Anaheim and Arizona.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go. That should be all right.
I dug up this clip of Patrick Waugh that you
were. Oh, thank you. You did.
I did. I dug it up.
So the Islanders blew it.
Oh, boy.
Head-to-head, Red Wings, big matchup. You know, the chance to really pull themselves into the standings race. They get thumped. I mean, really disappointing performance.
Was it on Long Island?
Detroit, I believe.
Okay.
And just a heartbreaker for Isles fans. A lot of Isles fans are saying, tear it down. Don't even want them to come back. Now they're furious. Patrick Waugh post-game was like, oh, we were pretty good tonight.
You want to hear the clip?
Sure.
Yeah, let's play it.
I'll say this. I mean, I thought we played well from the start to the end. Maybe we squeeze our stick a little too much in the first because we had 2-3 good chances, and then we didn't give them much. And then the second period, I mean, a couple bad bounce, you know, at the blue line, cost the breakaway. And then after that, I mean, a couple lost, you know, turnovers and cover. But overall, I mean, seriously, I mean, I know the name of the game is winning, but I will say this. Our guys played a really good game. I mean, you played this game again, and I'm pretty sure we would win it.
Now, I didn't watch the game, so I'm not sure, like, where he's coming from, but it's
game.
Just, you just hate the fact that he's a kinder, gentler Patrick Waugh.
I don't hate that. I hate the fact that he clearly seems to be coaching his team in the media here to be like, we're okay, we're not out of this sort of thing, I believe in you, is the vibe I get, which is, you know, a fine vibe for a new coach to...
Maybe he just knows
They're not that good, man. They're in real trouble.
Why dump all over them or...
Yeah, what's the advantage?
I don't know.
At this point, a little more calculated in that instance.
But their team's going to make Torts look really smart because it looks like the Flyers are probably going to, unless the Caps, who stink.
Yeah.
They catch the Flyers. It doesn't look like, because they're 6 points back now. I guess they have one game in hand, but they're going to have to get hot.
Yeah.
They've lost a lot in a row now.
Hey, speaking of French accents, did you happen to see Celine Dion read the Boston Bruins starting lineup to the Bruins in the dressing room?
Wasn't that a while ago?
It was yesterday.
Okay, right. Then I haven't seen it.
Celine Dion is a Boston Bruins fan, which is
the biggest.
It's greatly offensive. She's like high-fiving the Bruins fans around her at the game.
What? No way.
Yes, it is true. And also, it was horribly uncomfortable
Montreal
to watch.
Montreal fans happy about that?
No, I think it's a national dilemma, or at least a provincial dilemma.
Quebec. I have a French-Canadian mother-in-law, Carol. Big time. Carol Levesque vibes from Celine Dion.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She had a very certain cadence that was not of the dressing room. It was like, let's go.
I'm hungry. Pasta.
Yeah. Like, oh.
All right. So when we started our show, we kind of threw out, is our show better or worse when certain teams either stink or play great?
Okay.
And you got a lot of reaction off of that. Did you not, Sammy?
A ton of texts.
And the general feeling is fan bases, and we mentioned Toronto in this instance, that the show is a lot more, I don't know, followed? A lot more.
The claim was that it's better when they lose, but the reality by the statistics is that's not true. People after the wins want to hear their favorite team get feted, get us to, you know, talk all nice about them. But I don't know, the texts, people claim they like the lost shows.
Nothing tastes more delicious than Schadenfreude.
love the show more when the Leafs lose. When the Leafs lose, to listen to Sammy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
There
is that aspect.
You have become like the mascot for like when people want to hear you, like they did with Steve Dangle. They want to hear you cry when things go wrong.
But I feel like I have like,
you're the new Dangle.
We're getting fired up for the big games. Like, I don't think there's a whole audience of people that don't really know how I act when it comes to playoff Leaf hockey, and they're going to get treated to that. Like, this is just the warm-up.
Treated's an interesting word.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I'm a very sarcastic person, and treated to it is a very interesting word.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Sammy will smoke.
All right, so you got some text questions, Sammy. Any half decent ones?
Text, let's have them.
I'm just pulling through them here. Talk amongst yourselves.
Folks, text 590-590. We got 10 minutes, and it's text time at the end of a Friday.
Or we can just talk about Doug McClain and Jeff Rimmer's toupee.
Sure. Does anyone do toupees anymore?
I don't know.
Isn't there? You should go to Turkey.
Now they actually can
do that at some point.
Do a really good job. Like, you can't hardly tell. Like,
yeah.
I can't tell yours.
I know. No one can tell.
Why does Kipper want to torture us with Matt Murray on a Friday? I just got home from work, opened a beer. We don't need this.
Of all the angles Kip takes, it's definitely the one I'm most like, what is he working here?
That is hilarious.
Does he get a percentage of his next deal? What is happening?
That is so funny. That's a Stanley Cup champion you're talking about, too.
Just great guys. Kip and Justin.
Twice.
Doug and David's conversation was so friendly and funny. My snowy QEW drive went too fast. Great show, guys. On a side note, boys, don't sleep on my Jets. We'll listen next week. Thank you.
Yeah. We're not.
I feel like we do a very good job of talking Jets. We talk with the Jets. We give them credit. We have Reynolds on once a month. We talk Jets.
Jets. I think we've said is the deepest forward group in the NHL. I don't know if it's consensus, but that's kind of my stance. And Connor Hellebuyck.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily believe their D is quite where the best Ds are, but when you have Connor Hellebuyck, it doesn't have to be. So they got as good a chance as any.
Last night was a game that they lost 4-1 to the New Jersey Devils, but it was...
Brassois, right?
Brassois. Yeah. But he played well, too. Like, they were right in the thick of things. Mm-hmm.
I like the Jets.
Throughout the hockey game, it's just one of those where you can look at it and go, come on, you lost to New Jersey, but they actually, I thought they played a pretty good game.
Toffoli and Monahan changes how I feel about the Jets, and I do think they're a legit contender.
I have an actual question here. Why does Pastrnak get no love in the Hart Trophy talk? 100 points, 45 goals, 40 above nearest teammate on the team. Supposed to regress, but still tops in the league. No pasta equals no playoffs from John and Hamilton.
Supposed to regress? Why?
No, the Bruins were.
He is one of my favorites.
The Bruins are supposed to regress.
I don't think that he is a offensive guy, right? He's not like a penalty kill guy or a physical, you know, I know he throws
he's physical.
He runs into people. But
oh, no, he's physical.
He's
not running
here,
people over, but he's
here. If he played here, you'd be all over him because he has nights where he's just
not many.
But any, I mean, he's not McDavid McKinnon. He's not.
Well, he's not Kucherov, and Kucherov is
either,
the winger. He's the winger right now that's
Kucherov's
getting all the love.
25 more points than him, you know. Kucherov does over
Pasta. Really good.
He's unbelievable.
Good.
I'm not saying this to take away from Pasta, but you're talking about the very best guy. He's clearly not it. So
yeah.
I think it just like
he's him and Nylander are 90, 100-point guys who are underneath the big boys.
Like Mikko Rantanen
right? There's
in that class. Leon Draisaitl's in that class.
There's a handful of guys that are just up there right now, and they're just underneath.
Just underneath. Tier 2.
No, I'm not even going to say it. That was going to be a Leafs pasta question.
Don't change your stripes now.
Okay, I won't.
No, say it.
No,
just be you, Sammy.
Okay.
Come on.
It's a stupid question. I want to ask. It's about Pastrnak and Matthews. And
why are they even a comparison? One's a winger, one's a centerman.
Yeah, but they're, you know, like, I guess Matthews is a better player for sure. No question. But like in a big game, who would you rather have?
I thought that maybe was where you're heading with that.
Well, who's had bigger games when they've mattered most in the playoffs? Pastrnak or Matthews?
I actually don't know. His past had any big games. I have no idea.
Yeah.
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 I'll take Matthews.
Yeah, me too. But I'm just projecting ahead. And I think a lot of people, you know. Anyways. We are getting so many texts, I can't keep up. Talk about Couturier to Ottawa. I honestly can't.
Couturier to Ottawa was just like a passing.
That was really interesting.
But it actually works to me. That works in my brain. Minus the money. I don't like the money.
See, this is where I see a fork in the road in the Philadelphia Flyer organization. And I've not talked to Doug about the thought of Tortorella moving up, but I have heard that. The other one I have heard is Keith Jones and Daniel Briere absolutely love Craig Berube. Mm-hmm. And that one could be very much on the table if, in fact, that there is any change that they decide with Tortorella behind the bench. Mm-hmm. That would be an easy fit for a guy that already lives there.
Berube does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Wilson suspended six games.
Six games.
Yeah, that
Thank
one.
Thank you for that.
Was
update.
Fairly easy to see the history.
I wrote about it today, sportsnet.ca, about how this is just compound interest punishment based on all the previous dumb things he's done. You know, like, it's really going to come back to bite the Capitals of the third hardest remaining schedule in the NHL. They're chasing a playoff spot. The actual action alone on Gregor, to me, is like, don't do that. There's just a couple games. But it's all the previous, when you play on the edge and you can't stay on the right side of it, eventually you pay. And the bill came due at a really tough time for the Capitals.
I'll always resort to the advice that Dale Hunter gave me early in my career.
Grease people after they score?
Every once in a while, you got to get suspended. It keeps them guessing.
Yeah.
But I mean,
hate that. I hate it in this moment for Washington.
Well, Tom Wilson is not every so often. It's often. Yeah. Take the every so
often. So is this his fifth or sixth suspension?
Sixth suspension. His third time with an in-person.
Didn't he have
three fines on top of
him? He's a bad boy.
Didn't he have what was the most massive one he had? Like 20 games brought down to like 14 or 15? Didn't he have one?
Remember.
Didn't he appeal one and bring it down?
He was for a brutal slap. No, that's the one that just happened.
I think it was a hit, a blindside
hit.
Illegal
check to the the head of Oscar Sundqvist. 20 gamer.
20?
Yes. You remember that?
I don't.
I'm the one with the concussions. How did I remember that?
2017? Probably.
2018.
Pretty blurry.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh.
Go ahead.
It was about if Kipper could. Maybe it's an easy question, but if you were going to sign a 1-day contract with one team that you played for,
yeah,
and retire with them, who would it be?
Gosh. Hartford Whalers.
You go out in Cooperalls.
Yes, Cooperalls in Hartford.
Is it because you like the jersey the most?
Yes.
No, I would say it was the Rangers, the one that you have the coverage
Rangers
from.
Too. Yeah.
The Leafs,
they took me golfing last week. I'll sell the Rangers.
There you go. Stanley Cup's not bad.
All right.
But the Tom Wilson thing to me is, you know, every team talks about how much they would want him, right? And how much that it would be worth the trade-off of him getting suspended sometimes to have that intimidation factor and whatever.
Yeah.
But there's a price to having guys like that.
This is the worst one for him and the organization.
Did he not?
Yeah, he did. Well, he put his arm around him like he was consoling him.
He was like, oh, you can't do that. That was illegal.
You know what I want to do is give Gregor a ton of credit for like taking that hit and not rolling around like Didn't even go down. Sat on the bench. Like, a lot of other guys would have milked it a lot more.
And they interviewed him, and he said, I don't think Wilson meant to hit me directly in the face. He said, I think Wilson apologized to him on the ice.
Is Gregor that nice of a guy? Now I don't like him that much. He's too nice.
A little angrier than that?
Yeah, I guess.
He cracked a bunch of teeth.
All kidding aside, good on him for not rolling around like crazy because he didn't have to.
Yeah. We just got this text. This person must have just turned on our show for the very first time. What are your thoughts on the Pittsburgh Penguins in regards to how the team is being handled under Dubas?
Let me refer you to section 3.2C of the charter,
every news and notes for the last month.
Yeah, hey, buddy, just download any show in the last 2 weeks.
It's not good.
A random point in any episode in the second hour.
It's not good, as Brad May just said. Yeah, that'll be an interesting one as we see it progress through the next dozen games or so for Pittsburgh. And like Washington, this ends their season, does it not?
Yeah, yes. You know why? Because they're not good. So having a good player out hurt.
Yeah.
That's the end of them. Philly, congratulations. I just put you in.
No Ovi, no Crosby. That's a different world.
That is. That's a sad world. But, you know, what are you going to do?
More sad about Sid.
All right.
Only sad about Sid,
yes,
actually.
Correct.
Only four games on tap before we kick it over to Hockey Night in Canada Saturday night. Our thanks to Doug McLean. If you get a chance, download this if you haven't heard it already. And Luke Fox. Safe weekend, everybody, and we're back on Monday.